This is the Janine Betts Show. I invite you to join me on a journey where I help 100 women earn an income online. If you are stuck in corporate America and you're trying to figure out how you can fire your boss, then I invite you on this podcast where I will reveal the strategies on how you can create passive income and create a real legacy.
I have the absolute pleasure of interviewing Courtney Clark this morning. And Courtney is a peak performance expert for female entrepreneurs and speaker and host of the Women Up Top podcast. Really her mission from what I understand, and I'm really excited to dive into this, but is teaching women how to understand and implement the science of success to create and sustain a life of balanced and consistent excellence. And Courtney, ladies, she can help you in four specific areas in your life. That's in business, in finance, in health, and relationships. Courtney, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here with you. I'm grateful that you had me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And you're in South Africa, right?
That's right. All the way from sunny South Africa over here.
Actually, you're my second interview this week that was in South Africa, so that's really cool.
I know your first interview from this week. In fact, she happens to be my best friend.
Oh my gosh, that is ironic.
I know, how's that?
Small world.
Yeah, and she actually lives in a completely different part of South Africa than me as well. So it's actually crazy how small the world is. Click of a button.
You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, Courtney, when it comes to... you know, understanding what you do today, but how did you get started online in the first place?
Oh, wow. Okay. So kind of taking it back a little while, the actual reason I got into entrepreneurship was an event that happened in my life that happened to be the catalyst for everything that I've become today. But in that time in my life, it seemed like an event that had the potential to be the catalyst for me to become quite the opposite of everything I've become today. When I was 17 years old, I was told to leave my parents' home. And if you ask anyone who knew me back then to describe the kind of person I was, they would have used words such as egocentric, defiant. Basically, I just made my own rules and broke rules on the basis and in the name of because I fucking wanted to. And that led me to getting kicked out of my parents' house. Today we can look back in hindsight and call me a trailblazer. Back then, they were not so fond of it. So I was told to leave my parents' house at 17 years old. And in that moment, I realized I had two options. I had the option to make something of myself, or I had the option to become nothing. And I believe that in all situations of adversity, we have those two options. We have the option of pity, or we have the option of power. And thank goodness in that time in my life, I chose the latter, and I decided to make something of myself. And if you know anything about my story, or you've heard me speak about it before, you'll know that I relentlessly went through it. I relentlessly ate dirt for a good little while. And I knew that in order to make something of myself, I had to use what was at my resource, what was at my fingertips. And at that point in time, I realized online is, you know, we happen to be in a time where it is so freaking easy to make something of yourself. It has never been this easy to start something extraordinary. It has never been this easy to follow our dreams, right? So at that point in my life, I was like, all right, cool, let's make something of myself. So I started waking up at 2:30 every single morning, and I would work before I'd go to school. I'd work during school, I'd work underneath my desk, I'd work every single waking moment that I had. I was working and I was grinding, and I'd been in the fitness industry for a while before then. I was young, and I was, you know, a 16 year old with a six pack. It wasn't as common as it is nowadays back then. And because of that, I had the audience, I had the sponsors, and I dove head first into that. I had to make a decision to leave my last standing angel, who happened to be my fitness coach at that time. She was mentoring me to kind of work with her. And I had to make that decision in that moment, sent her a message, said, listen, starting my own company, can't represent yours anymore. And as a 17-year-old who knew solidly nothing about that, you can imagine I got criticized into the ground. but I did it anyway. And I picked myself up and I made this decision and acted on it within the space of 4 hours. 4 hours later, I'd made my first logo and I told people that I was starting this business. And, you know, I think that's just what you got to do. You got to just dive into the deep end because when you do that. So yeah, so that's how I got into the online space. And we can, if you want me to speak a little more on that story, I'll get into it a bit more. But basically, that was the catalyst for me getting into it. It was, well, you have an option to fall on your ass right now, or to make something extraordinary of yourself. And I chose the latter. And I got into the online space doing that. And then over the years, I switched over. I had my failures, had my successes, had it all, experienced it all, learned all the lessons the hard way. And now I'm doing this. So that was actually how I got into it.
That is awesome. You've got such a strength to you. I can hear it in your voice and what you went through. Would you mind diving a little bit more into your story to share for the listeners?
Yeah, of course. I'll start off by saying, you know, this actually kind of ties in a lot with what I've been thinking about for this whole week. And what I've been thinking about is, what defines greatness? You know, what is the definition of greatness? And I think that the definition of greatness is in our despite moments. You know, we all have despite moments in our life, whether it's standing in a cold shower and despite the freezing cold, we stand there anyway, whether it's running on the treadmill and despite the fact that your legs want to give in, you do it anyway, whether it's a situation of adversity and despite that, you do it anyway. I think that in every single despite moment in our lives, we are pushing from ordinary into extraordinary. We're getting a taste of what we're capable of, and we're teaching ourselves something undeniable about who we are. We're teaching ourselves something undeniable about our potential. And I think that I was given this beautiful gift at this point in my life of being put in a situation that I had to push into my despite. I had to push from ordinary into extraordinary. And this is where I think I learned one of those profound lessons that said that. So basically diving into what ended up happening, I had to make that decision. So I did. I acted on it pretty immediately. Told my mentor, I'm leaving her. I'm starting my own thing. So every single morning, I was also preparing for a fitness show at this point in time. If you guys go over to my Instagram, you'll see I train an insane amount, like a crazy person. It's always just been part of my life. I believe in reaching excellence in every area of your life. I believe that if you're really living in your greatness and you're living as that version of yourself, you're able to peak in all these areas of your life. But we'll get into that at a later stage. Staying kind of along the lines of this question. I used to compete in fitness competitions years ago, and I was preparing for the biggest one that I'd ever done. It was the Arnold Classic Africa, and I was not about to give in. I was not about to fold on that one. It was a huge dream of mine. So anyway, leaving my fitness coach, I ended up having to coach myself as well. So what I would do is I moved into a spare bedroom in one of my friend's parents' house, who luckily went to the same school as me. Every morning I'd wake up at 2:30 in the morning. I'd go down to the kitchen, I'd cook my food, I'd prep my food, I'd weigh my food and make sure that's all set for the day. And while I was doing that, I'd be working on this little Samsung tablet that I was given as a gift a couple months before. And I would work on that. And after that, I'd start walking to the gym at 3:40. In the dark and the cold, come rain or fucking sunshine, I got myself in the gym while I was on the bike doing my hour of cardio, I would work. And I mean, not that I knew what I was doing, because, you know, in the beginning, it's not about strategy. It's about, if you just do the thing with the intention of making something happen, when you're living in that, it happens, you know? So anyway, I was working relentlessly for hours and hours and hours. I would do that. Then I would get ready to go to school. I'd arrive at school and I would work until 7:30 in one of the ladies' offices. And then at 7:30, between 7:30 and 7:20, I would have a quick power nap to make sure I'd be able to get through my day. And then, you know, underneath my desk in my classrooms, at my breaks at school, you know, I even dropped to class so that I would be able to have an extra hour of working during school. And I was just working. I probably said maybe 5 words to people every single day. And people used to say, "She thinks she's better than us," right? Because I didn't tell anyone what was going on, so nobody understood. So I was just doing my thing, and people were ridiculing, people were giving their opinions, people were saying things, and I was doing it anyway. And then after school, I'd keep working until I went back to the gym for my second session in the evening. And then I'd come home and I'd work until every single thing on my to-do list for that day, every single thing I thought I was supposed to be doing in order to make a success of myself was done. Well, then I would go to sleep and I'd wake up and do it again the next morning. Now, I'm not promoting this as the way to build your business because needless to say, it's not sustainable. But despite the relentlessness and the mindset that I had in that time, it did 3 weeks later bring me in my first just over $2,000 and in my first 3 weeks in business. And now for someone like me who grew up in a household where money was not a thing, it was we grew up with very little and a lot of adversity throughout my childhood. $2,000 was, you know, I had a dad who couldn't keep a job because of an addiction. And I had a mom who was a preschool teacher. And in South Africa, a preschool teacher earns maybe half of that. So to me, at that point in my life, I was like, holy shit, I just broke the bank, right? And when you do something like that, in those despite moments, you teach yourself something about yourself. You teach yourself something about your confidence within your capability. And through that journey of reaching that success at 17 years old, that comes with an ego of its own. And we can get into that as well a little bit later, because I will tell you that I built that business into a success. It was fantastic. But because of how I did it, I hit a wall and I failed after that. And then I failed and I failed and I failed. And I failed. And I think that my life's work and what's come to be of who I am and what I do now has come from reverse engineering and analyzing the times in my life I succeeded and analyzing the times in my life that I failed. And what I came to realize is we're constantly living within one of two formulas. We're never in stagnation in any area of our life, in any time in our life. We're always in one of these two formulas, and the life that we produce is the output of the formula that we're living in. And through the years, through all the wins and all the losses and the inconsistency within those, I've been able to reverse engineer what that takes, what that science of success actually is, and what it means to live in that greatness consistently, right? To produce a level of excellence all the time. So that's how my journey started all the way back in the beginning. And that's how my journey slowly started beginning to shift into what I do now.
Wow. So just to understand the timeline, are you saying that you were working and building your business when you were 17, like still in high school?
Yeah, that's right. That's when I started my first business. And then I actually dropped out of high school because of the ego that came with that. And my business was doing so well and I was thriving. I mean, I wasn't sleeping, but my business was doing well. So it was fine, right? That's the mindset we have. That's a bullshit. Don't do that. It doesn't work. It was so unsustainable the way that I built it. And like I said, the ego that came with that, I was chasing an image of myself. I wasn't chasing a version of myself. And that's when you start reaching burnout, because how do you sustain an image of yourself if you start claiming your greatness and assuming your greatness based upon what you've done? That's what I was doing. It wasn't about the performance every day. It was about the level of achievement I felt I had to reach. So then every month it's all hustle, hustle, hustle. Like, keep it up here. Like, this is what you have to prove to people. This is the level that you have to be at all the time. And you're chasing that image of yourself constantly. And, well, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's super fun to make tons of money and drive the nice car and have the nice house. And that should be part of your vision. But when you're chasing an image of yourself, you don't know how to behave. You know, I always say raising the standards of your life is not about raising the level of achievement you expect from yourself, because greatness is not a product of achievement. Achievement is a byproduct of greatness. Like, you have to be behaving in alignment with your greatness first, right? Greatness is about performance. It's about the qualities that you embody. You know, if you ask somebody that has a multi-million dollar business, what did it take for you to become successful and to have this multi-million dollar business? They're not going to tell you, oh, it took having a multi-million dollar business. No, they're going to talk about the qualities that they have to embody every single day. They're going to talk about the relentless focus. They're going to talk about the resilience. They're going to talk about they're going to talk about the qualities that they had to embody to become that person, right? The skills that they had to ingrain into the core of their identity, who they had to become that knew how to do that. right? And we get very caught up on the idea of it. And when we're just chasing that image of ourselves, we're keeping it at arm's length because we're becoming something. We're wanting to be something. And every moment we wake up and say, all right, today I'm becoming this person, we're saying to ourselves, I'm not already this person. So we're trying to claim our greatness based on what we're becoming and what we've been, right? We go, all right, well, today I can, you know, just do like 5 minutes on the treadmill because last week, Tuesday, I did 20 minutes, you know, like today, like I'm going to claim my greatness today because of that cold shower I stood in last week, Tuesday. Like it's, we acclaim our greatness based upon what we've done and where we're going. And we don't realize that in order to get to where we're going, it's about who we're being. And who we're being is based upon our performance every day. It's based upon in every single moment, which decision are we making, right? Because we're never in stagnation. Every single decision we make is either a step towards or a step away from it. Every single decision we make teaches ourselves something about who we are. It teaches ourselves something about our identity, about the core of who we are, about what we believe we're capable of. So for example, when you wake up in the morning, you have in that moment, you have one option to lie in bed for 10 minutes longer. You have the option to jump out of bed. And in that moment, you're teaching yourself something about yourself. If you're running on the treadmill and you said you're going to run for 20 minutes and you get to 20 minutes and you stop, you had the option to go the one extra minute. I live by the one extra concept. So it's always one extra, right? So because in that moment where you decide to do one extra, you're proving something to yourself about yourself. Every decision you make teaches yourself something about yourself, whether you know it or not. And that's kind of one of the main pillars that around creating a life of greatness, around building a life of excellence, and around building a life of consistent, thriving excellence and balanced excellence in every single area of your life. It's less about who you've been and less about who you're becoming and more about who you're being right now. Because when you're becoming something, you're not acting in alignment with that person right now. You know, we say things to ourselves and then we don't act according to that. And the fastest way to break down any confidence, the fastest way to break down any positive belief within yourself is to set a standard of what you say and then not match it with your actions. That is the fastest way to break it down, which means the fastest way to build that up is to say something and do it. You know, it's about putting yourself in those situations on purpose, doing the cold showers, you know, getting yourself in the gym, putting yourself in those situations on purpose so that you have the opportunity to prove yourself extraordinary. Every minute you prove yourself extraordinary to yourself, you are solidifying a belief in your identity that you can do something extraordinary. You can do so. You're willing to do something. You're capable of doing something that most people can't do. Therefore, you deserve to live a life that most people can't live. And when you're doing that, you're solidifying your identity, and your identity is the core of everything. That's the ripple effect of how you operate in the world, right? So, yeah.
Absolutely.
What was the question?
We were just diving more into your story to understand a little bit more about who you were. I think I forgot the question too. That's okay.
Oh, it's okay.
We're raw and natural. That's all good.
Good things. I hope everyone's taking notes.
Exactly. I wanted to go back because you had mentioned, oh, right. We were talking about when you were 17 and how you had started when you were so young. Recognizing burnout at such a young age, how did you, first of all, recognize it? How did you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to stop doing this? And then what did you do from there to make it sustainable for you?
I failed on my face. Okay. You see, I had this thing back then, you know, like you said, I was 17 years old. You know what? I knew nothing. And when you know nothing, life teaches you things the hard way because you become so stubborn within your ego. And that's what happened. I became so obsessed with the hustle and the grind and that I had to sustain an image of myself that when I reached burnout, I kept going and I kept trying and I kept trying. And then I started failing because you can't sustain something like that. You cannot sustain something coming from that place of fear and anxiety the whole time. So recognizing burnout, I started going easier on myself. I started accepting less from myself. I started expecting less of myself. And as a result, I started falling into my default formula. I started claiming my greatness based on what I'd done. So I used to say to myself, you're so great because of like that first month in business. You're so phenomenal because of that first month in business. So it's okay what you do now. And what happened was I started falling into the trap of feeling sorry for myself. I started falling into the trap of saying I was great based on what I was done, but then not acting in alignment with that. So I would wake up and I would pity myself. I'd wake up and I'd fall into old patterns. And as a result, my life took the turn because I hadn't done the work on my mindset. Reaching sustainability in business is about waking up every single day and performing in greatness. And you can't perform in greatness when you are acting from a place of ego. So my mistake is not the same mistake that most people make, I think, in business when they are reaching that level of burnout. Reaching that level of burnout, a business often comes from, I think nevertheless, it does come from a place of stress and anxiety. And you have to understand that when you're living in stress and anxiety, you are living in attachment mode and you're attached to something, right? You're attached to an outcome. And that's ego-driven all the time. When you are attached to achievement, when you're attached to an outcome on the level where you will do whatever it takes within yourself, like you will sacrifice yourself for that, well, then you're not going to reach it, right? That's not how you perform at a level of greatness or a level of excellence, because greatness and excellence comes from the core of who you are, right? It comes from your heart. It comes from your authenticity. So I think for me, and I think for anyone else in general, when you are operating from any place of, when you are reaching any place of burnout, you are operating from a place of fear. You're operating from a place of attachment. And people often don't understand what it means to detach. And it's quite actually simple. What it means to detach from something, what it means to detach from an outcome of something and focus more on being someone, is to silence your fight or flight mode, right? When you have anxiety or fear around something, it's because your fight or flight mode is telling you that you have to live in the survival mode. And that's what makes you reach burnout, because you're chasing a level of achievement. So the way in which you silence your fight or flight mode is you give it a different, you give it a meaning that doesn't attach fear to it. So it's not about saying to yourself, and I say this often, it's not about saying to yourself, all right, you know, you're standing in a freezing cold shower. It's not about saying to yourself, the shower's hot, the shower's hot, the shower's hot. It's about saying to yourself, the shower's cold and I love it. The shower's cold and I chose to stand here. The shower's cold, but despite that, I'm choosing to do this anyway, right? That's what people mean when they say tell a different story, tell a different narrative around something. And I think that that's a huge misconception that people have. You know, people think that, all right, if someone tells you to tell a different story around your financial situation, they're telling you to stare at your bank account that's got nothing in it and say, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. Like, no, you're not. Like, I'm not in debt. I'm not in debt. I'm not in debt. And you're staring at it. You are. Then you're just pushing it to the side. Again, that's ego driven because it's attachment to the level of achievement, what you want to see right there in your bank account. So what you got to do is you got to stare at that debt and you got to go, damn, the leverage this gave me at this point in my life, like, this wasn't my money. But I was given this leverage and I'm so grateful for the leverage that this gave me. I'm also so grateful that, you know, I didn't just go from broke to rich at the end of my success story. I went from in debt to rich. You know how many more people I'm going to connect with one day, right? And the deeper the connection, the deeper the impact, right? It's telling yourself a story like that. So you're not lying to yourself. You are using reason to back up a different emotion. Does that make sense? So in any level of adversity or any level of discomfort. So for example, when you are pushing so hard and reaching that burnout, how you detach from the outcome, because the reason you'll push for burnout is because you want to see a certain result, right? We get to burnout because we're like, oh my gosh, I want my business to thrive. Oh my gosh, like I want to see more money coming in. I want to see more clients coming in. So it's attachment to that rather than attachment to our performance. So it's about waking up every single day. So burnout comes from emotions like frustration, right? We reach burnout when we are just waking up frustrated every day, when we are waking up so anxious and so fearful that it's not going to work out. So it's about saying, I get to wake up every single day and no matter what the outcome of my day, I'm chasing my dreams right now. I'm waking up and I'm chasing my dreams. I love that I get to chase my dreams. I love the journey. I love the adversity because the adversity means deeper connection. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, the moment we stop romanticizing the struggle of our journey and stop sitting in the struggle of our journey, we start embodying something completely different. We start detaching from the outcome because we have this sickening habit and this, oh my gosh, we do this in every area of our life. We romanticize the struggle so much more than we think. We will sit there and we will make it so difficult for ourselves. We will sit there and we'll go, I'm working late and I just wish I could get the results. I'm working so hard and I wish I could get the results. And by doing that, all we're doing is reminding ourselves we don't have the result. And that's why you reach burnout. Burnout is an emotional thing. It's when you're emotionally giving too much, because you only physically give too much when you emotionally give too much. You understand what I'm saying? It's not, if you don't care, well, you're not going to burn yourself out like that. There's something in you saying, fear this. Anxiety here, frustration here, and spiking those emotions spikes your fight or flight mode. It goes, what do I do? Like, how do I get out of this? So you'll just work yourself stupid. So it's everything comes back to those emotions. Everything comes back to like mastering how you're performing in your day. It's mastering where you actually put in your focus. You know, there's so much we could go into depth around that, because it's a big thing. It's a massive thing. And people are just full of shit nowadays. And half the advice that we're getting is unsolicited advice, or it's advice out of context, because there's millionaires telling you to do things, but when you're consuming it, you're not consuming it from the mindset of a millionaire. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when millionaires are telling you rest, or you're gonna reach burnout if you don't rest, like, no, stop giving people that advice, because they don't understand where that advice comes from. You know, knowledge is power, but understanding is proof. If you are giving someone advice just from a place of knowledge and not understanding, I believe it's unsolicited advice. Your mind is not consuming it in such a way that allows you to implement it in an effective way. And that's when people start taking 3 naps during the day because some millionaire told them they need to rest more. Like, that's not the way it works. It's about giving yourself you know what I'm saying?
I do. That's funny. Yeah. But you're right. there is definitely a disconnect, and I think it's why, especially in the online world, in internet marketing specifically, the people call it overwhelm, call it too much information, call it what you will, but it connects to exactly what you're saying. There's so much information out there. People don't understand the context it was given in, and they take it at face value, and then they go, why am I not making any money online? Why am I not any further than I thought it would be? So absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely. I'm curious, you know, the way that you're telling your story, and what I realize this is the first time we're speaking, but I can tell it sounds like you are obviously a very driven individual. How did you, from a mindset perspective, for the ladies listening to the podcast, for those who are type A, self-critical, really like perfectionists, how did you let that part go? And you, because you mentioned earlier, you allowed yourself to not expect so much, but earlier you had said you're always a one more minute type of woman. So I'm curious, how were you okay with that? How did you get to that point?
So I think that everything for me came down to finally humbling myself to my own power rather than relying on self-reliance to force my own power. I think that I was driving my business from such a place of ego, and that's why I reached burnout. I reached burnout because I was chasing achievement in pursuit of greatness. I wasn't chasing performance in pursuit of greatness. So what I mean by that is I was driving to fulfill an image of who I wanted people to think I was. And life humbled me really freaking fast, and life did that by making me lose everything. And I think that you know, I always say that it's okay to fail, and it's okay to fail again, it's okay to stumble, it's okay to fall on your fucking face, because that humbles you. But I don't believe that failure is necessary for success, or massive failure is necessary for success, if you humble yourself first. Humble yourself before life forces you to, is kind of what I'd say there, because how I finally got myself to, so when I say I'm always a one more minute kind of woman, what I mean by that is not from the point of chasing achievement, from the point of proving something to myself. So my intention became different. I stopped chasing an image of myself and started chasing a version of myself. So my intention when I wake up every single day, and this is what I teach the women that I work with, and this is probably the most fundamental principle in everything that I do. When you are waking up to chase a version of yourself, you're waking up with the sole intention of proving something to yourself about yourself. When you realize that your identity and what you believe about yourself is the core of everything in your life, it's the core of it drives 91% of your behavior, right? Like who you are is your subconscious mind. What you do is your conscious mind. So when you transform the 91% of your behavior every single day and your decisions that you're making every single day, which happen on a subconscious level, 91% of the influence you have on your life happens on a subconscious level. So it's no wonder that we can't transform our lives just trying to focus on the 9%. We'll never be able to fully override that. Even if we temporarily do, we can't on a fundamental, sustainable level. And that's what I learned the hard way. You'll always self-regulate back down to that, back down to what you believe your identity to be. So when you start focusing every day on shifting your identity, what you do becomes about your level of performance, not your level of image. And that becomes about in every moment you make a decision to prove something to yourself. Reaching burnout and striving for image is not about proving something to yourself. It's about proving something to other people. And that's the shift that matters most. Because it's not about what you do sometimes. It's about what you do all the time. And if you're driving from ego and you're reaching burnout, and then you stop. So basically when I started like expecting less from myself, I was chasing an image of myself. So it was easy for me to, I was telling my mind that the important thing was that I looked like I was successful. I was telling my mind that the important thing was that I was making a certain amount of money. That's what I was telling myself. So I could drive myself stupid to do that. And I could acclaim my greatness based upon what I'd done because I was chasing an image of myself. So it was always the bigger picture. It was never, what am I doing in this moment? Like, what am I proving to myself about myself in this moment? So I wasn't mindset. Focused. I was 9% focused. I was 9%, you know, focused on the consciousness, focused on what I can see, the results that I'm producing, the achievement that I'm reaching, and the hustle to try and keep that up. It becomes effortless. Understand that achievement becomes effortless, and that's what makes it easy to let go of that. Achievement becomes effortless when you're living in greatness. When you are waking up to prove something to yourself about who you are, you're waking up with the sole intention every moment to teach yourself something extraordinary about who you are, then achievement becomes effortless. So it doesn't become about choosing between burnout and thriving. You start thriving through your performance rather than thriving through chasing an image of yourself. So the fundamental shift that had to take place in my life, all in all, the greatest shift that ever took place was stopping from operating from the place of ego and starting to operate from the place of your higher self, the higher level of who I am, the best version of myself. And when I talk about, you know, there being a formula for success and a formula for failure, that's what I'm talking about. We have this default version of who we are. And then we have the version of us that the great version of us, right? And I have a name for the great version of me, and I call her the vessel of infinite possibility. And basically, when I'm showing up in each area of my life as the vessel of infinite possibility, my performance is based on greatness. When I'm showing up in my life as the lower version of myself or the anti of that, then I'm chasing ego and I'm chasing an image of myself. So the mistake that I was making the whole time was it's less about what it looks like and more about what it actually is. And I was claiming my greatness based upon what I'd done. I was claiming my greatness based upon what I wanted to do. And that's a mistake people make. That's a mistake that, you know, such driven individuals will make because we get so obsessed with that. We get so obsessed with that image of ourselves. We get so obsessed with what we expect from ourselves on an achievement level that we don't know why we're not reaching it when we start reaching burnout. We can't figure that out because no one's actually telling us that. Oh, it's about what you're doing in every single moment that makes that possible. It's not about choosing between achievement and greatness. You know, it's not about, okay, you have to reach burnout in order to do that. It's a completely different way of operating in the world. And that was the mindset shift that had to take place. The way it took place for me was the freaking hard way. It was losing everything. It was finally humbling myself and realizing, oh, like that's not how life works. And, you know, I didn't humble myself on purpose. I was humbled by my experiences. I was humbled by losing everything after I'd been successful so young and built this ego for myself. And then when life hits you in the face like that, you start to realize something wasn't right. And the only way I started to actually discover that in the mindset shift that happened for me that I now have the privilege of teaching is only when I started reverse engineering, what was I living in when I was failing? What was I living in when I was succeeding? And I realized that when I was failing, I was trying to uphold an image that my driven, ambitious self told me I had to uphold in order to be great. It gave me a meaning of greatness that was based upon my achievement, that I was forgetting that the thing that gets you to where you want to go is every decision that you're making in each and every single moment. So it's making a fundamental shift for yourself and understanding, first of all, it's not romanticizing the struggle, and then it's making the fundamental shift about your performance in each and every single moment and the decision of proving something to yourself, not proving something to other people. I think that's the most important shift that I made there.
That's extremely mature for a woman at such a young age. I mean, good for you. That's incredible. We have time for one more question. I wanted to ask you, you know, we fast forward to the future. What vision do you have for yourself and for your business? What do you see?
My mission, my vision, my mission, my purpose, my everything is to build an army of fierce, unstoppable, confident, relentless women that are harnessing their true potential and living in their divine purpose. You know, I think that life is sweetest for those that understand and feel the depth of knowing that we have unlimited potential and a limited time to try and reach that in. And my mission and my purpose is to teach people how to start harnessing that, because you know what? It is so much more simple than we think. We are destined and designed to live at that level of excellence. We just don't know how to. You know, everything that I teach and everything that I talk on is all about how knowledge is power, but understanding is proof. When you understand the fundamental principles around the way your mind works, around what it actually takes to tap into that and to unlock that power and to become that person, well, then you can do it in every single area of your life. When you understand those two formulas, when you understand that failure is not an accident and success is not an accident, and if it's not an accident, well, then guess what? You get to make decisions every day that teach you how to operate at that level that produces a life on autopilot. You know, like I said, 91% of everything that's happening is happening on autopilot. If we can transform that part of us, now we're tapping into a level that very few people do within a lifetime. So my mission is to start a revolution, to change the world one person at a time, to allow people to start tapping into that, because I believe that every single one of us is here with some kind of extraordinary divine purpose that very, very few people know how to tap into. So my duty and my privilege and my honor is to teach people how to do that.
I love it. So ladies, you're listening to what Courtney is saying, that you could summarize it with, you need to make decisions at the end of the day, and you have the power to do so. Mm-hmm. If you want to learn more, there's going to be links below, but I want you to go to courtneyclark.co.za to learn more on her website and also to listen to her podcast, Women Up Top.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. It has been a privilege to learn from you, to listen to your story. And it's exciting. So thank you for taking the time.
Of course. It was amazing. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it and want to learn more strategies on how to do affiliate marketing or network marketing, really how to build passive income online, then join my free Facebook group, Fire Your Boss with Janine Betts. I will see you there.